The opinions expressed on this edition of Pensacola Expert Panel are not necessarily those of News Radio 92.3 AM 1620, but rather the opinions of the sponsor, Positively Persistent. Don't stop believing. Hold on to that feeling. Streetlight Fever. Don't stop believing. Oh, Streetlight Fever.
Welcome back to the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620, 850-437-1620. Weigh into the conversation, have a comment, have a question. Angie is here, and it's time to be positively persistent. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited that you're here. It's so appropriate for staying on trend of wellness on a Wednesday, the middle of your week. Yes. You start to get frustrated with life.
Exactly, especially with the weekend coming up.
Right. Yes. It's always good to look ahead to your weekend, but also appreciate where you are at in the middle of your week. And so today, as we jump right in to our topic, I want to just go ahead first to give you an opportunity to share who you are, what you do, what you focus on, and then we'll get into some top mistakes people make when dating. We've all done it.
Yes, we have. Okay, first of all, I'm Angie Randall. I am a certified wellness and life coach in here in Pensacola, and I talk to people that are struggling just in life with trying to figure out which way to go, so personal growth and development, basically, and, of course, relationships and dating. Being in my late 40s myself, I have a lot of real-world experience, if we could, that helped me to be able to help others avoid some of the same mistakes I've made. So I meet with people one-on-one here in our local area, Escambia, Santa Rosa, and Okaloosa counties. I also do online therapy as well and group coaching.
Excellent. So she knows what she's talking about. It's pretty much what she's saying. So if you do have a question, 850-437-1620, we won't share your name. And it doesn't have to be anything too specific.
Right.
Just feel free to open up a little bit, ask a question, and we'll leave it anonymous at that.
Yes.
We respect privacy, and I think that's something that people appreciate when it comes to getting help in life.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, okay, Angie, let's jump in to our topic today, and I think it's kind of humorous, but also very serious too, because it affects your entire future. So the top mistakes people make when dating, are we going to just go through the list and kind of what it does? Can you tell us how to avoid it?
Absolutely. We have a lot to unpack this morning. So 2 weeks ago when I was on, we talked about, you know, being ready to date and knowing what you want and boundaries and things like that. But today we're going to take it to the next step. Okay, so at this point, you've decided that you're ready to start dating. You've figured out what it is that you want, and now you're ready to put yourself out there. So what I did was I decided to panel a few single men that I know that are in their mid to late 30s and mid to late 40s, as well as some single women. And I asked them, I said, okay, tell me some of the top mistakes that people make, including boundaries that people don't honor and things of that nature. And it was really interesting to hear what they had to say. So I'm just going to jump right in. I will say there were so many mistakes, and trying to narrow it down to a short list was very difficult, to say the least. But I did it. So here we go.
Okay.
Number one. Excuse me. Number one, over-marketing themselves. So a lot of complaints that I heard from men were specific in women talking too much about themselves on a date. Okay. So for example, just spending way too much time talking about yourself, not asking pertinent questions about them, allowing them time to give feedback. Okay. If the other person, you know, isn't able to get a word in edgewise, that you basically are stating that you feel that you're more important than they are.
Ooh.
And that comes across as an immediate turnoff for a lot of people. And it's not just men. The men in this particular situation were the ones that pointed it out. But I've heard this complaint from women, too, that there are men that just talk about themselves incessantly. And a lot of times, you know, there's a lot of bragging going on accomplishments that they've had. And while that's great, you have to tone it down, and there has to be a good balance when you talk about yourself and then turn around and ask questions of others so that they can elaborate about themselves as well.
Absolutely.
Because after all, you're on a date. You're trying to get to know this person.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
So there has to be a really good balance. The second one I got kind of falls in line with the first one, but it's oversharing. Okay. Especially right out of the gate. So you're on your first or second date, and you're dumping all of this baggage onto your date. I really wouldn't really look forward to a follow-up date if that's how it's going to be, because the other person may be interpreting all of that baggage that you're dumping on them as things that they have to fix or things that they have to take on, which is really unfair.
Yeah. I mean, it can scare them away. I'm
exactly.
just gonna say.
Especially right out of the gate. Not saying that you should not ever share what's going on in your life, but not right out of the gate like that. You really need to get to know someone. They need to earn your trust. You need to earn their trust before you start trusting them with, you know, some very personal details about your life.
Well, and I think a part of that too, in avoiding it, and you're the expert, but going to a trusted counselor mm-hmm. and letting it out beforehand so you're not relying on the other person or several people, and then you've put all your information out if you're like dating several people
exactly.
or out there in, you know, on the market. I don't know what you call it, but I'm not in the dating market, so I don't know.
Yes.
But yeah, it can be just be too much and then scare them away, and then you're back into that circle of what's wrong with me, obviously all mm-hmm. this, you know, and it can hurt you.
Right. And that's it. That should be a huge sign to yourself that you need to work through this with somebody, like you stated. You know, talk with somebody outside of the person that you're dating, whether it be a life coach or a therapist or a counselor, whatever. But talk to someone and get those things out. And like I stated a moment ago, it's not that you don't want to ever share these things with someone that you care about. Once the relationship has progressed to a point where you are exclusive and, you know, it's time to start having those conversations, that's fine. But let's not do that on the first, second, or third dates. Probably not the best time. Okay.
Yeah, wait a little bit. See if they're actually going to stick around for a few more dates.
Yes, exactly. Number three was chemistry and connection. Mm-hmm. So a while back, it seemed like these two words were like the ultimate buzzwords for relationships.
Chemistry and connection.
Okay. Oh, if we okay. have chemistry and connection, we must be meant to be.
Is that like vibes and auras
oh,
or something?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And so it's like, you know, here's the scenario. You meet somebody, let's say you're out at an event and you meet someone and there's that instant spark that people talk about. Okay.
Is that even a real thing?
I know,
I don't
right?
know. I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, I think there's instant attraction.
Oh,
and I
yeah,
think that you can have, you know, some great chemistry and you can talk about things and things like that. But that's not all there is.
Mm.
When you get wrapped up in chemistry and connection, you kind of forget about logic and common sense.
Ooh.
Okay.
Yeah.
So not to put a downer on chemistry and connection,
that's okay.
by no means. It's very important. However, you still have to step out of that little fantasy realm, which is what happens. Because when you have intense chemistry and connection with someone, you automatically have feelings of, you know, passion and lust and things like that
right.
that can cloud your judgment. So you do kind of have to step back a little bit and be like, okay, let's see if there's any real depth with this person outside of chemistry and connection. Do we have things in common? Do our morals and values align? I mean, there's other things that you have to take into consideration besides chemistry and connection.
Oh, absolutely. And I think like sometimes too, we're lost in this Hallmark movie world.
Yes.
And women we do it, but men can do it too. I've met them and they get so focused on, I need that connection. I need that connection.
Mm-hmm.
But it sets them up for either failure or it's just focused on the outward appearance.
Yes.
And then there, which leads us to our next thing, and I'll let you go into it, ignoring red flags.
Exactly. So like I said a moment ago, with that intense chemistry and connection, it can cloud our judgment. okay? Red flags, when you have those, and I also call them alarm bells, when you have those red flags or alarm bells going off inside of you, that is your mind telling you that something isn't right, that you need to investigate it.
Okay.
It's really easy to excuse those things or dismiss them, okay, when you have those intense feelings. So that's what I said. You really have to be sure you're balancing that, or you will miss them. Balancing the chemistry and connection versus logic and common sense, or you will miss those red flags, or you will be likely to say something like, oh, well, you know, he hasn't texted me for 2 days. He's just busy. That's no big deal. Or she, you know, I'm not just picking on the men here by no means.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, women do this too. So it's really important that you try to keep a level head when you're dating. Okay. And ignoring the red flags or excusing them is just setting you up for failure, because we tend to tell ourselves, oh, this is just something small. Like, for example, when someone doesn't call or text when they say they're going to, okay, and several hours have passed and you haven't heard from this person, that's a red flag. I'm sorry. That's a red flag showing that, you know, they're obviously not respectful of your time. They weren't respectful enough to send you a text saying, hey, I'm sorry, I got caught up, I'll reach out to you in an hour, or something like that.
Right.
Okay. Breaking dates at the last minute. And this is more than one occasion. Now, we understand that occasionally emergencies happen and somebody might have to break a date at the last minute. However, that should only happen like once.
Right.
And then the person that broke the date needs to make every effort to fix that situation as quickly as possible. Once again, being respectful of your time. And then, of course, a big one is lying. If you catch someone in a lie early on in dating, that should be like flashing red lights. Okay, that should be like the major red flag. If someone is lying to you early on, especially early on in dating, about something small, think about what they would do with something bigger. Like infidelity or something like that. They're likely not going to be truthful with you about that either if they're lying about the smaller things.
Right.
So those are some really big red flags. And that's where we really have to be careful, because when we get caught up in these feelings and emotions, we can, I guess, minimize those red flags and be like, oh, well, maybe he was just, or maybe she was just afraid to tell me the truth.
Right.
No, that's not acceptable. Number five I came out with was making rash assumptions or judgments. Now, this can go both ways. It can be a positive rash assumption or judgment or a negative one, okay? So what you want to do in that moment when you feel yourself starting to make that assumption is pay attention to your actual gut feelings, okay? Your intuition is going to tell you if something is off about this person.
Right.
Okay. It doesn't necessarily mean that something is off, but it's something you need to investigate. All right. So, for example, earlier when we were talking about oversharing and people talking too much about themselves, sometimes that can actually be a nervous habit. Okay. Somebody can actually be very nervous and they can't stop talking. I've met people like this myself.
Right.
So, rather than make that rash assumption or judgment that they're just selfish and want to talk about themselves, take a moment and really observe that person. Observe their body language. That'll tell you everything you need to know. If they're very fidgety, not able to really hold eye contact with you, kind of eyes darting all around the room, things like that, they seem to be talking in a nervous sense, then that's an indicator to you that maybe it's not that they're trying to be selfish and make it all about them, but they're really struggling.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So that's what I'm talking about. Just pay attention to your gut feelings in that moment and pay attention to body language.
Yeah. It could be anxiety from past relationships or whatever it is.
Yeah, it could be. So that's why I'm saying it's important to really pay attention to those things.
Very good.
Another big complaint I got was, and this came from the men, trying to change someone. And I really enjoy talking about this topic because although this can go both ways, men trying to change women, women trying to change men, I hear it mostly from men, okay? And I think that's because as women, we are naturally more nurturing, empathic. We want to help everyone, okay? And so we think that if we see a flaw in a man sometimes that we can fix them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sometimes it's good. Yeah. It's a good project.
Project. Good work. Good work. But I think when you really, truly care about someone, you have to make a decision that you are accepting that person as they are in that moment. It is not our job, nor is it our right to try and change someone.
Right.
Okay. True change, if someone wants to make that, has to come from them. All right. So if someone wants to, and I'll just use, an addiction or something like that. So, like, let's say somebody's a smoker and they want to stop smoking. Okay. We can't force that on somebody. That's something that they have to decide they want to do for themselves. They have to take those steps to stop smoking. They have to seek out that help. Now, we can certainly be supportive, and we should, but we cannot change them. Same thing goes with, you know, the way that that person might interact with us. We may not be happy with the way they interact with us, but it's not our responsibility to change that. It's our responsibility to voice how we feel about things, okay, and state that we would like that situation to change, but ultimately the change is up to that person, okay? So, you know, I just feel like it's a waste of your time, and it's honestly, it's kind of selfish of us to think that we have that right to change someone.
I feel like sometimes, especially in this day and age, look around you, you can't even go on Facebook without somebody, you know, forcing their opinion,
yes,
one side or the other,
right,
on you, and expecting you to just boop, like bibbidi bobbidi boop, you're changed.
Exactly.
It doesn't work like that. Everybody has to take responsibility for themselves.
Right. Exactly. And that goes back to what I said a moment ago. You know, you have to be willing to accept that if you're going to love someone and you want to be with them, you have to be willing to accept them with all their flaws, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Mm-hmm. Okay. And if that person wants to change, yes, we want to support that, but we cannot be the one to make them change.
And I think that's the other thing too, is maybe accepting that you can't change people. And if you really are that convicted that they need to change in a certain area, you probably shouldn't date them, maybe. I don't know.
Exactly. Or maybe you should also look inward and see what it is about you that that is so enamored with changing this person. You know, are we deflecting in a way? You know, I mean, and that takes a big person to admit that if that is what's going on. But, you know, we have to be willing to look at ourselves as well, because we're not perfect. Sometimes in relationships, I think we have all the answers, but we're certainly not perfect. So,
no, I think, you know, we're in that age that, you know, not just information age, but we have so much information. All of a sudden we think that we know it all, and that so we're set in our ways. But, you know, I think growth means that we have to be able to admit that, yeah, we're not perfect, and we all have to make changes every single day.
Absolutely. And that goes in line with being open to a change that your significant other may impress upon you. You know, like maybe it's a communication issue where they say, you know, I wish we could communicate about this subject better. And so they're implying that maybe we need to work on our communication. And that's okay. But don't expect someone to completely change just for you. That's not right. If you want to help someone and support them, that's what we should be doing, but we can't do that ourselves.
Yeah, and then you might just figure out that y'all are good friends and you have to walk through something together.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
You might have made a friend. You thought it was a date, then made a friend, and you walk through it together, and you just don't know what the future holds, but you do have to get healthy too. And 850-437-1620. Angie Randall is here with me. I'm Jenna Barr. This is the Pensacola Expert Panel. It's time for Positively Persistent. We've got a few minutes left in the show. Somebody said, I think people need to slow down and not jump into a relationship so quickly before getting to know each other. You're seeing a lot of young people get married these days. Like a lot.
Absolutely. And I'm going to tell you something right now. You know, going back to the connection and chemistry, a lot of people base whether their relationship is going to survive on those two things, and that is a huge problem. And that's why you see a lot of people jump in so quickly. I got an email from a woman a little while back, and she basically states that she's been with a man for about a year and a half. When they met, there was this intense chemistry and a lot of, you know, and of course connection. She said they had sex immediately. What she described as nothing neither of them had ever experienced before. The problem, though, was that outside of the bedroom, they had no idea how to connect with each other.
Ooh.
Okay. So they were great in that intimate setting, but outside of that, they had no idea to connect with each other. Conversations were awkward. They had really nothing in common. Their value systems were polar opposites. So now these two people are basically roommates. There's no more intimacy, no more passion. They still live together, but in separate bedrooms. No. And they're doing so just to pay the bills because neither one of them can afford to live by themselves. It's a very sad story, but it's one that we hear all too often and one that most of us have experienced ourselves at one time or another. You know, you get wrapped up in the whole chemistry and connection and you think that this is true love when in fact what it really is lust. Mm. Okay. And then outside of that, you find that you just don't have much in common. Well, what happens is it's, and you know, eventually when there's nothing outside of the bedroom in common, all of that stuff just seems to become less and less attractive to you because what you're really looking for is depth in someone. Wow. The ability to communicate, the ability to connect with, just to sit down and have a general conversation. If you don't have those basics, then eventually the passion and the lust and all of that dies out and that person becomes less and less attractive to you.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not even a religious thing or anything like that, but waiting for yes. those things?
Absolutely. You know, I'm a person of faith. I have no problem admitting that. You know, and I think it's important, you know, that we do wait, mm-hmm. You know, sex, if you're a person of faith, you know that sex was meant for marriage. Okay. But also, you know, when you have sex with someone, there's other feelings that come into play, a lot of emotions. And a lot of people here, I hear this all the time, you know, sex changes everything. And it absolutely does. Mm-hmm. Because once you've done that with someone, you've crossed a barrier, basically. And now you've added a whole nother element of feelings and emotions on top of the situation. And so before you do that, you need to really make sure that, you know, you're committed to that person.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people may not agree with that, but that's just my feelings on it and my experiences behind it.
Yeah, but you're right. And I am a person of faith, and I totally agree with you, and I think that it is sacred. And I think that, you know, we have been push this narrative that it's my body, it's my choice, I get to do what I want, yeah. and it'll, you know, make us feel better. But really, in the long run, it doesn't. And somebody texted in, we think that we want sex. It's not only about sex, it's intimacy that we want.
Absolutely. And yes. Thank you for that. That is so true. And intimacy goes well outside of the realm of sex.
Amen.
Intimacy can just be what we talked about earlier, just walking on the beach with yes. someone, holding hands, that's yes. an intimate act. Sitting down, having a heart-to-heart conversation, that's intimacy. It doesn't have to be just sex.
That's right.
Okay. So
we've been talking about just the top mistakes that people make when they're dating. So real quick, as we wrap up in the last like 2 minutes, let's talk about standards.
Yes. So standards, what we say, we tell people, you know, make sure you have them.
Mm-hmm.
Standards let other people know that we value ourselves and our time. And that's a very attractive quality in both men and women. Okay. I certainly don't want to date someone that doesn't have standards.
Right.
Okay. You know, it basically says that you respect yourself enough to hold them accountable to not only your standards, but their own standards. It shows the level of emotional maturity.
And your worth. Yeah. How much you're worth. And you care about yourself.
Absolutely. And some examples of those standards are things like, you know, having similar values. Is this person treating you with respect?
Yeah.
Are they consistent? And then a lot of people have a standard that they're not going to date outside of their faith. And that's a very important thing.
Ooh, yeah.
You have to make that determination early on and be willing to stick to that standard. You know, if you are a person of faith, that is obviously something that's going to be very important to you.
Absolutely. 100%. Because there's going to be so many disagreements down the road. People say they can work through it, but let me tell you, even politically.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Politics. That's a whole.
Is that terrible? Ouch.
That's a difficult one too. But it's especially with faith, because that is basically, you know, people of faith, that's the center of our world.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. And I don't want to spend time with someone on that level that doesn't feel the same way I do, because it's just going to bring about problem after problem after problem.
Yeah. And let me tell you something. It's not too late though. I want to, you know, we say positively persistent.
Yes.
So if you're having trouble dating, you know, mm-hmm. sometimes it just, let's bring it back to you, and not talking about yourself too much. Right. But
right.
also getting the help that you need and deserve mm-hmm. so you can live your best life. And talking to somebody, that person that can just hear you without judgment, without any preconceived notions or yes. anything, do that first. Take care of you and then go in. And it makes you better at being intimate and
absolutely.
Being able to talk to people. And so if people do want to reach out to you, Angie, where can they go?
I am online at positivelypersistent.com. That's my Facebook. That's my online profile. And of course, I have Facebook, which is Positively Persistent. I'm also on Instagram and LinkedIn as well. If you go on my website, my phone number and email address are there as well.